When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters.
Keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. On the line, I have Shauna McKinnon, who is our afternoon drive host on our sister station, 100.5 Cruise FM. Shauna, thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, my pleasure, Stephanie. You know me. I'll talk about MS anytime.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about MS. It is MS month, but what is MS?
MS is multiple sclerosis, and it's a neurological degenerative disorder, which means that it gets worse over time. So a lot of us, when we're first diagnosed, we're in the relapsing remitting category, and we stay that way for a number of years. And then eventually there's a decline. Some people decline very quickly. Some people are in very bad shape from the get-go. But most of us decline slowly over years as time goes on.
Okay, so Multiple Sclerosis Month, are we celebrating? Are we bringing awareness? What are we doing?
Well, MS Awareness Month is held in May every year in Canada. It's March in the United States, so you may have seen that last month, but it's in May in Canada. And basically, it's a month to bring awareness to what we call Canada's disease. There we go. That's even harder to say, the multiple sclerosis. Basically, we've got some of the highest rates of MS in the world, not just, you know, in the country or North America, but in the world. And that's why they frequently call it Canada's disease. Wow. And the reasons for that are multiple. First of all, most of Canada, the European settlers came from Northern Europe, and with it, they brought MS. And that's not to say that you can't find MS in other parts of the world, but very high rates of it in Northern Europe, in Great Britain, in Scandinavia, and Northern Russia, Northwestern Russia, that sort of thing. So all those people came over, and they brought the disease with them. And so we've got this huge population of MS in Canada now.
And there isn't a cure for it, right?
No, there isn't. We're getting, every year we're making new breakthroughs. We're finding little more pieces of the puzzle, so to say. Consider it a 3,000 piece jigsaw puzzle. And we've got, little pieces here, and we've got a corner there, and we've got the edge, maybe up in the right corner, but we don't have the full picture yet of how this disease operates, because it doesn't appear to be strictly genetic. We can't pinpoint exactly where in our genes that you can find MS, but we can find where autoimmune disorders are, and that's what multiple sclerosis is considered to be, an autoimmune disorder. So if you've got a family history, perhaps, of, there's asthma, there's diabetes, there's rheumatoid arthritis in your family, that's where you're going to find MS related to those other disorders.
So, as well, then, it's not something you catch. It's just kind of something that shows up one day, right?
Pretty much. Now, they look at environmental factors as well. There seems to be a connection with the Epstein-Barr virus, which is the virus that causes mono. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but as many as 90% of the world's population has been exposed to the Epstein-Barr virus. And in most people, nothing happens. Some of us get mono, as I did in university. Other people get quite sick with it and then recover, and they're fine. Other people get mono or have the exposure to the virus and then develop MS. So there seems to be a connection, but we can't quite pinpoint it because not everybody who has mono gets MS, of course.
Wow.
So there's that factor. They look at other geographical factors as well. The farther away you get from the equator, the greater the incidence of MS. So you're not going to find, you're going to find a very, very low incidence of MS on equatorial countries. But in places like Australia or in Canada or Northern Europe, you're going to find higher incidence of MS.
Wow. So going back to the fact that it's Canada's disease and May being MS Awareness Month, how are we bringing awareness?
Well, normally we have a walk, usually around the middle towards the end of May, we have a big walk, and we've done that for several years in Fort McMurray. And last year, of course, with COVID, we had to do a virtual walk. We're doing that again this year. You can register for the walk and you can raise funds, but there isn't one particular day that we're holding a walk. You can walk all through the month and keep track of your miles, or, you know, get pledges. You can walk as far as you want or as little as you want. But just that the idea is to bring awareness and tell people that you're doing this, but post on social media, that sort of thing. And that way they can understand that, oh, hey, this is pretty important. And, you know, maybe I can be part of the solution. Maybe I can help.
And you've been someone every year that takes a giant bike ride as well.
Well, yeah, and giant is a matter of relativity. some people ride a lot further than I do. But I think about 30 years ago, they started MS bike tours in Canada, or 31 years ago. And so they've been holding these bike rides every year since then. And it's their biggest fundraiser, basically. They're held at different times over the summer and fall months, depending on the part of the country that you're in. And again, last year we had to do a virtual bike ride, which meant that we had a few of us here in Fort McMurray that rode. Normally, we go to Leduc and we do the Leduc to Camrose ride. So it's you ride on your bike, Leduc to Camrose and back. And my goal the past 4 years has been just to do 50 kilometers each day. And that ride is 190, so I don't do the full thing. But there are some people who do the full thing in one day. They're beasts.
Yeah, I mean, it's you said giant was relative, but I feel like 50 kilometers a day is pretty giant.
Well, last year we did 55 kilometers. We rode from the Oil Sands Discovery Center out to Gregoire Lake Provincial Park and back, and it was a beautiful day. And we're not doing that this year. This year we're going to be riding through Birchwood Trail.
Oh.
I think June 27th is the day that we have planned, but the MS Society is holding some low-key group bike rides as well, and they're going to be doing one July 10th, so I'm going to be attending that one, Leduc to Camrose, but it's just a one-day event and very limited people in place because of COVID.
Wow. Sounds great. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we'll be hearing more from Shauna McKinnon, our afternoon drive host on our sister station, 100.5 Cruise FM, as well as our knowledgeable brain about multiple sclerosis. Thanks for joining me, Shauna.
Oh, you're welcome.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. If you're just tuning in, we have our afternoon drive host on our sister station, 100.5 Cruise FM, Shauna McKinnon, joining us today. And we're talking about MS Awareness Month, which is multiple sclerosis. And Shauna is our resident expert, and mainly because Shauna has MS. Can you talk to us about, you know, getting that diagnosis and figuring out that that was something that you did have going on?
Yeah. So about 23 and a half years ago, I started to have some numbness in my right arm, and it became difficult to brush my teeth or to brush my hair, and I just thought that I had slept on my arm funny or my shoulder funny, so I went to the doctor, and anyway, she did a quick check, and she said, come back if it gets any worse, and I'll try to get you in to see somebody. So 2 days later, it was a lot worse. I couldn't even hold a pen. Let alone write. I mean, my writing was horrible on that Monday when I went to see the doctor, but on Wednesday I couldn't even hold a pen, so I went back to see her. And she sent me straight to the hospital to emergency, and 6 hours later I found out that I had MS. And the thing about that, for me, because I'm a bit of a science nerd, my first thought was, oh, that's cool, because this explained what was happening, that I had lost feeling on the right side of my body, and I couldn't use my right arm. I was tripping over my right foot. And so all of a sudden it was like, oh, so that's what's wrong. This is really cool. And I have a big interest in neurology anyway. And when I was a kid, I was going to be a brain surgeon. So this was really very, very interesting to me. And they actually let me leave the hospital so I could go home and get changed and get some clothes and leave my car there because I didn't want to pay for parking at the hospital. I didn't know how long I was going to be in the hospital. But they started treatment with steroids, and that's standard. That was standard treatment then. It's standard treatment now. If you're in the middle of a flare-up or an attack or a relapse, you get steroids, and it reduces the inflammation. And this is the important part, that you understand that the inflammation is in your brain and your spinal cord and your optic nerve. That's all. It's in the central nervous system. And so the myelin gets eaten away. The myelin is an insulin protection, or not an insulin, an insulation protection for the nerves. And that gets eaten away. So then the nerves are exposed to the elements that are flowing through your brain. There's electricity, there's chemicals going through your brain, and this can short circuit some of those nerves, and this is where you end up with symptoms. As well, the more frequently that you have attacks, the more damage that is done. So eventually, it's very much like an electrical cord. If the insulation is ripped away from the wires, eventually that cord shorts and it stops working. And so that's what happens with MS. So this is what was going on in my brain, and I got to see pictures of my brain and confirmed that I had one. But you could see these white spots on my brain as well. And so that's how I found out and knew what was going on. But I didn't know what was going to happen down the road. I had a couple of friends over the years with MS, and I thought, well, they're still living life. You know, they're functioning normally. A friend was quite disabled by MS, but she had three kids, and she was, you know, still cooking and cleaning and looking after the household and helping her husband with work and that sort of thing. So I didn't think that there was anything really to worry about. Of course, my parents were terrified. My husband at the time, he was terrified as well, and they all wanted me to get on this, you know, whatever treatment was available. And at the time, there was only one or two approved disease-modifying therapies. And there was other studies going on for another one, and they asked me if I would be in that study, and I said yes. And so, of course, family and friends wanted me, you know, just to go straight onto the drug. And I said, no, I'm going to be part of the study because we've got to, you know, we need more information.
Wow.
And that's how you get the information. So I went into the study. Turns out I was on placebo, which is what my parents and my husband were worried about. And so a year and a half after that, I had my second attack or relapse. And that involved the left side of my face. Fortunately, I have recovered from those attacks over the years, but not completely. Mm-hmm. So I still have symptoms from those attacks from time to time, and a slight tremor in my right hand. But it's really not all that noticeable, unless I'm really, really tired and you see me dropping my keys or my knife or my fork at supper time, then you know that. You know, it's rearing its ugly head.
And when you talk about an attack, are there ways to prevent this with the medication or with diet or things like that? Or does it just kind of, you know, one day you get extra tired and it happens?
It's hit or miss. The whole idea about the treatments that they have, the disease-modifying treatments, of which there are 15 or 17, I'm not quite sure of the number, but there are now 15 or 17 drugs out there, treatments that can help prevent these attacks from happening and also lessen the severity of the attacks. And so this has been proven over time that these drugs do lessen the severity and do lessen the frequency of attacks. And the whole idea until we can cure it, the whole idea is to lessen the attacks, to lessen the severity, because the more damage that is done, the more disability that you're going to have down the road. So you want to keep that at bay.
Now, what does down the road look like for someone with MS? You know, as you continue to get older, are there things that you are expecting to happen to you? Is it kind of universal that something happens towards the end of life? Or
you know what? Nothing is ever guaranteed in this life to begin with. But with MS, you're almost guaranteed that, you know, you're going to probably need a walking aid. When I was first diagnosed, they said, you know, from the time you're diagnosed until you need a walking aid, like a walker or a cane, it's going to be about 19 years. And today, that length of time has been lengthened to 30 years.
Oh, good.
And that's because of the effectiveness of these disease-modifying therapies that they have on the market now. And so at the first sign of MS, the idea is to get you on these modifying therapies right away, because that limits the amount of damage that is done, and that prolongs your mobility and decreases disability as well.
Okay. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters. When we come back, we're going to be hearing more from Shauna McKinnon, our afternoon drive host on our sister station, 100.5 Cruise FM, and our resident MS expert.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker, Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker, Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. If you're just tuning in, my name is Steph Seidel, and I have been chatting with Shauna McKinnon, our afternoon drive host on 100.5 Cruise FM, our sister station, as well as our resident MS expert. Now, we've been talking about May for MS Awareness Month, and we're also going to chat about what's available for people in town who have MS or experiencing a loved one having MS. Is there something that people can join and get involved with?
Actually, there is. We do have a support group in town, and it's currently meeting online, and you can find that on Facebook as well. If you go to the MS Society website, there are a ton of things there. We've got something called MS Navigators, and that's a chance, and I've used this myself, looking for questions or answers to questions that I have about MS or certain treatments. You can go online, you can speak to somebody in real time, you can chat with them on the phone, you can email, you can chat online. And those people have been trained and they know what's available for people. If you're looking for assistance, if you're looking for services in your area, if you're looking for quality of life equipment, they can talk to you about that. They also have a number of programs like the one-to-one peer support program, where you can get teamed up with somebody else and to help you navigate through the myriad of services that are available, and the health system as well. There's a caregiver support group. There's a peer support group. Young people with MS. Most people with MS are diagnosed between the ages of 20 and 40. So you can imagine being 25 years old, being diagnosed with MS. You're just starting your life as an adult, and it's like, wow, what do I do? So there's a group for that as well. There's legal and self-advocacy support as well. So there's a whole bunch of things, and you can find it all on the MS Society website, which is mssociety.ca. In Fort McMurray, we don't have a chapter like in other cities because we're very small, but we do have an advisory council, of which I am a member. So there are several of us. We get together and we try to organize events when we're able to have them. So we kind of operate like a chapter, but just on a different level. But there is help out there. There are people out there. There are services, and there is support as well. So just reach out. You can, like I said, you can find the support group on Facebook in Fort McMurray, and it's a good place to start. And if you're just newly diagnosed, definitely reach out, because you need information, and you need the right information. That's the other thing. I always drive people to the MS Society website, because every day, almost, there's somebody coming out with a new diet or a new regime or a new treatment or a new this or a new that. And until these things have been studied, don't throw your money at something that's promising a cure, because there is no cure. If there was a cure, we would know about it by now.
And if somebody's listening right now and they're like, I don't have MS, but I would love to support. And of course, all those things take dollars to support, and the Walk for MS, and as well as the bike ride. You have a team, right?
Yes. My walk team is myself and Kirsten Parr, and we are the pandemic perambulators. So if you want to donate to us, you can. The bike rides, the MS bike team is the Cruising Buffaloes. And that's cruise-ing buffaloes. We will gladly take your money. Of course, all the money that we raise goes directly to the MS Society. And they're they're splitting their money about 60-40, so about 60% is going to research and 40% going to services for people with MS.
Great. All right. Well, I think that's all my questions I have for today. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, just be aware that MS is out there. You probably know somebody with MS, and if you don't, now you do. I have MS. And MS doesn't have to be, well, it is a life sentence in a way. You do have it for the rest of your life, but it doesn't have to be all doom and gloom, because there's a lot of good things that are coming out of it. As well, watch for the Saline Creek Bridge to be lit up red on May 30th, which is World MS Day.
And big day for MS here in our community, right?
That's right. Hopefully, if things go as planned, council will be, well, the mayor, Mayor Don Scott, will be declaring May as MS Awareness Month in the RMWB.
That is wonderful. Well, Shauna, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Anytime.
My guest this morning, Shauna McKinnon, she is our resident MS expert, as well as our afternoon drive host on our sister station 100.5 Cruise FM. I'm Steph Seidel, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.